Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to reference a few verses this morning, and I'd like us to start in the book of Romans, chapter 10. The verses that I'll share with you this morning are, you know, if you've walked with Christ for a little length of time, these are probably verses that you know or are familiar with. But I want the light of these scriptures to shine on us, shine in me, in you, to really take a look and to move it just from things that we know to the forefront of how we live our life. And so Romans chapter 10, starting with verse, let's go to 14. How then can they call, in other words, people, on the one they have not believed in? In other words, how can they call upon God who they do not believe in? I'll throw this in yet, the word yet, they believe in. How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them or testifying to them, proclaiming to them who God is and His only Son, Jesus, and their existence and why and how they have loved us or loved them and the Holy Spirit of God that brings life? How can they believe without hearing about them? And how can someone tell them or preach or testify unless that person or someone is sent to them? Turn to the person next to you and say, I just want you to know that you have been sent. Tell her. Joshua. All right. Just making sure that you have been sent. Dennis, you're sitting by yourself. Did someone tell you? Yes? Just now. All right. Good. You have been sent. How can they hear unless someone is sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. And I got news for you. Not all the Gentiles in our time have accepted the good news. Isaiah the prophet says this, Lord, who has believed our message, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. I want to talk just a little bit about the messenger and the message. I want us to put this at the forefront and understand that the world can kill the messenger, but they can't kill the message. Understand this. We know that the prophets of old, they killed some of them. We know in the New Testament that Jesus even tells a parable and story of a master sending, at least my evil servants will listen to my son, and he sends them, and they beat him and kill him. And, you know, the messengers sometimes, you know, lose their life, martyrs. But look it, they cannot kill the message. When Jesus laid down his life, they thought they could kill the message. But the message resurrected from the dead. Jesus was not only the messenger, understand it, he is the message. Not just the messenger, you and I. The messenger lives within us, but the message is what lives within us. The living word of Christ and who he is. Turn to the person next to you now and say, the message will never die. Darkness cannot shut it down. Evil cannot shut it down. And his word, his eternal living word, it will never die. He will fulfill it. He will keep his word. I mean, why does, we'll call it this book, just in the context of there's other literature, but why does this book bring freedom to so many and agitate so many? See? Because his words are living and they're active, as the scripture does say. So here we are, and we know the message in our minds, and we know the message has, if you believe in Christ, the message has changed your life and actually transformed who you are and who you're becoming. And the message, Christ himself, you know him. You know him. And we continue to know him more. I want us to talk a little bit about this message, but being a messenger. You know, Christ came as a messenger and the message of who God is in redemption and salvation and healing and hope and conviction and righteousness and all of that and so much more. And we have to see that in Christ, the nature of God was revealed. What the Father's like is revealed in Jesus. And that is who we are to become like. Now, we're going to still probably keep our own personalities and some of that. But even some of that is, you know, transformed. The person changes. Really, listen, I want you to hear this. You, myself, you can change. You know, we hear, well, you know, a person never really changed. Oh, it's too old. I can't change. I want to, let's see. I don't know if this is a Christian term or not. I'll use it this way. I'm too old to change, or I can't change, or this is the way I am, and this is the way I was born, and, you know, I follow the Lord, but, you know, I'm not going to really change, or, oh, I give up on him, or he'll never learn. I just got to accept it, and, you know, well, I just got to accept this about me. This will just be my battle, or we start to go to, well, this is my thorn. When it comes to even sinful things, battle. Listen, here's the Christian word, bogus. It's a Greek word. Baloney. Baloney. You can change. I can change. You can be changed. We can be transformed. And sometimes it's immediate and sometimes it is a process. But you can be changed. Your spouse can be changed. Just get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do it. A lot of men said amen right there, by the way. Did you hear that? There was more amen than amen. Listen, don't buy into it that you can't be changed. And just because you haven't seen maybe the change you want to see in someone else near you, as soon as you wanted the change, so it's been 30 years, and you think, ah, it's too late, they're never gonna. Those are not the words of faith. Listen, his word is living and active, and it outlives people. And if they've got breath, there is still time. And it's time for you to pick up faith again. And prayer again. The The people around you that you think are so lost, so dark, so evil, so this or that. Listen, I got news for you. Some of those people are like some of the people in this room were. I know some of you, and you've shared some of your past. there's been some really dark moments. Lostness, brokenness, anger, fits of rage, inappropriate conduct. You know, the list goes on. The same stuff in all of our histories, probably somewhere. We can be changed. Well, that's the way my grandma was and my mom was, and I've got their genetics. So, yes, you're right. You were born into sin. But in Christ, you have been born again, and you can be changed. Hear the message of the gospel. Now that we know the message and we know Christ, He is the message, like we said, being the messenger. Listen, I want to talk a little bit about being the messenger and being one who's sent. Let me read this from Proverbs. It is Proverbs chapter 13. There's a verse here that I want to read to you, verse 17. It says, "A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy or messenger or those who are faithful in human responsibility of in relationships." Okay, this envoy, that the word is kind of the person who is responsible in human relationships. In fact, that'd be a good phrase for us to say: responsible in human relationships. Go ahead. Yeah, responsible or faithful in human relationships. It says it's that person brings healing. That person brings healing. So here we are, a messenger, wanting to be a trustworthy, a faithful messenger to bring healing. We get the idea that healing always comes in a gentle manner. And many times that's true, but not always. My father brought some healing to me by doing this. Could you please stand up, son? My father brought healing to me when I was young by doing this. He smiled. You can see that because I inherited that to bring healing to him on occasion. Wasn't going to spank him at that point. You know, he was too old. You know, there's a point where, you know, we just stopped spanking. And you're saying, "You spanked at all?" Whoa, hey, whoa. Some of you are carrying the paddle with you now. Others of you are picketing them and going, "No spanking." You know. Hey, they were given to us to discipline. We have done it in love. That's right. So, what are you... So, you know, this was not... You thought what?
I was waiting for the haymaker.
A haymaker? I've never given you one of those.
No, I wouldn't be here.
Just the, you know, this... That was painful for me. Not so much this. It was the painful to my soul, but it brought healing to me. It made me go, "Whoa, yeah, I'm listening. You've got my attention, Dad. Sit down, son." You know, I've gone to the doctor. I've had broken stuff and dislocated stuff. For them to heal me, kind of hurt me first. In fact, sometimes they would try to subside it by giving me a needle to, you know, freeze something. If anyone here is a dentist, there's dentists in the audience today. After you numb something, just do me a favor. Could you wait just a little longer than you normally do before you start drilling and pulling? You always do it just a little early. I didn't hear anyone say amen. Can you, you know. So, but I want to say this to you. We are to bring healing. Now, I want you to know as a messenger, we are not going to compromise the message. Hear that? We do not compromise the message, but we can help people hear. It has to do with the way we say it. Sometimes, you know, in that how we say it is also when we say it. You know, many of us, we want to strike when the iron's hot, right? That's how you forge something. Strike when it's hot and boom, it begins to change shape. The problem is, with some of us, we strike when the iron is cold. Because we think, well, I'm going to proclaim the gospel and I'm going to tell them and I can see this is wrong and I just got to tell them. Or you have this burden for them and you just you just want to let it out and you want to love them and you want to, you know, but you got to tell them. And all of a sudden, you know, and I'm not telling you not to share the gospel with them. I'm telling you that, you know, there's a place in Scripture, we're going to read it later, where the Lord says, don't say this, you know, 4 months till harvest. Look now, you know, it's white, it's ready. And that was an illustration he was using for his disciples, because where he was at and what they were doing, there was a harvest that was ripe. If he talks in the context of harvest, harvest also has a time. Don't harvest your sweet corn too early. I just had some the other day. It was the first pick. Somebody dropped some off. It was Bob True. He come over. And I talked to his brother Gene just yesterday. And he said, hey, if you want some corn, Bob's. I said, he already gave me some. And Gene goes, yeah, we took a little bit, you know. Bob likes to pick it just a little early. I said, well, ours was good. We were delighted with it. He goes, well, I had one year that was good. The others were a little early for me. And, you know, so Gene likes to wait just a little longer than Bob. Their idea of harvest is different. But harvest implies a time. We start striking while the iron is cold sometimes. And listen, I'm all about sharing the gospel. And we can use reasons like, we don't know when we're going to see them again. So I got to tell them right now. Go ahead and plant and go ahead and water. But once again, there's this involvement of time and gestation. We are to cast seed. We are to share the gospel. We are to reach out to people. But I'll tell you, if we strike before the iron's hot, we try to harvest too early, there is no benefit and no fruitfulness and no crop. So continue to plant, continue to water. And we do it, you know, we strike, like I said, sometimes, you know, while the iron, before it's hot. You know, it's okay to allow this process for the iron to be warmed up. How do we do that? You know, if there's a moment where you know the iron's hot with someone, it might be a stranger, it might be, you know, man, share the gospel, do your best. But where you feel a resistance, where you start to sense that they're not tuning you out, listen, at this point, go for relationship. Remember? A messenger, a trustworthy one, is faithful and responsible with human relationship. And through that relationship, it's like planting or watering, and someone else might reap the harvest later. But allow them to have a rightful opportunity with you. And if they walk away and are disgusted and hate you, listen, the world's going to hate you. Okay? Scripture talks about that. Don't compromise the message. But in the way that we say it, and how we communicate it and when we do it has a lot to do with receiving the message. Right? Hey, come on. Let's just be real. Let's be real about this. Some of you I know come here because of the worship and the music. Some of you come here probably because you just always came here. Some of you come here because maybe you don't find a full gospel church that's, you know, close enough to you, and you have a conviction about being at a full gospel church, and so you come to New Life. But some of you come here because of how the Word is taught and proclaimed. I know that, okay? And it's not that I think I'm some great, wonderful, marvelous preacher. That is not at all it. But some of you come here because you like to laugh a little. Come on. You like to laugh a little. You like to walk out with some hope. I just talked with Sarah this morning, who invited a friend last week who came. And it was obvious that, and I'm just aware that the Holy Spirit did a work. She was going to some other places and comes from a history of a very harsh and, you know, burn or turn kind of preaching. And I'm not criticizing that. This is Sarah's story to me on behalf of her friend. And Sarah said, oh, you've got to come to New Life with me. You've got to come. And she came. And she found the message. Now, some of us need turn or burn. Right? Some don't need turn or burn. They need the warmth of a person who believes in Christ, who takes time for them and walks with them and is friendly with them and works with them and shares with them and listens to them. Listen, that's kind of like a paradox. Listen. Listen. Did you get that? Listen to what I'm going to say. And what I'm telling you to do is to listen to people. Listen. It shows caring. It shows interest. It shows that you're valuable. And what you have to say is valuable. Even when they're saying things that you know are contrary to the gospel, you don't have to go, oh, yes. No. You don't have to say anything. Just because they said something doesn't obligate you to say something. And it doesn't mean that you got to correct them right away. Oh, no, that's wrong. You know, how's that going to turn out? How's that evangelism turn out? You're trying to pull out the weeds because you're real diligent, but what you did is you ended up pulling up some of the crop. Jesus talks about that. It's listening. I talk a lot on Sunday. I get it. And sometimes I talk long. Part of it's because I listen all week. To you! No, I'm kidding. Hey, listening. Just showing up. People ask me, especially in recent days again, because there has been so many funerals. They come up and say, I don't know how you do this. I have a hard time just going to one and to, you know, or what do we say to this family, or how do we, I let them in on this great pastoral skill. You just show up. I got no great words of wisdom on my own, or I don't always know what to say. It's just showing up. And you listen, and you hug some people because you love them. And they feel it, and they sense it. And it's the Lord through you, through us. It's the same thing with sharing the gospel with people. Warm them up. Sincerely, not in a manner of conning them or something, but sincerely. It's how we say the message. You know, those of you who've been around here a while, I have said some very hard things that Scripture teaches. And I can also do that and tell you in a very appropriate and gentle manner instead of, you know, More, Steve? Give me more. I'm going to get more. We're going to proclaim the truth. The message is not compromised. But how we tell an audience. And there's a time to stand up and be bold with that. But, you know, we can be bold with love and mercy and kindness and gentleness. It's how we say it. Oh, tender as this. Oh, tender as this. And Jesus. And he says to her, where are those now who have condemned you? Because they all left. And he says, I know you were caught in adultery, but I don't condemn you either. Don't do this anymore. Can you get any more tender with a person who knows they're guilty? They don't really care for their life. Can you get any more tender, more hope than Jesus drawn in the sand and telling the righteous crowd to drop their stones and then whisper to you and I, where are those who are ready to condemn you? They left. And I don't condemn you either. But don't live like this anymore. Is there anything more tender and gentle than that? Is there anything more protective of us or of that woman than Jesus? To stand against a crowd that was backed by the law? There is no law against kindness. Galatians says it. It's the way we say it. And the other part is, it's not just the way we say it. And there's a time to stand up and say it. But most of the time, it's extending a hand and being on a knee with somebody. Because it's not just how we say it when you live in a community. It's also how we live. If you see an angry, negative, critical person and observe them, and yet they come to tell you some good news about the gospel, the message is true, but the life doesn't match. Now, here's the thing. From the world's perspective, if the life doesn't match the message, then the message isn't true. But when we are believers, we know that God uses people, both saved and unsaved, to bring a message to you and I. So don't quickly, though you discredit the person because of obvious reasons in their life that are displayed very covertly, very overtly, don't discredit the message. Because you understand this, you might walk out with some gaining this morning because of this message, but you're hearing it through a flawed person. But the world doesn't understand that principle, but you and I better understand it, that he can speak to us both through the saved, the unsaved, the holy, the unholy. But the world looks at it as this perspective. I want to see the person's life. And if I see the person's life and I see something good and something noble that reflects the message that and testimony that they are sharing with people or me, they're a little more apt to take it to heart. And a seed can go maybe into some good soil instead of falling on the rock where it sprouts up and dies quickly because they look at our conduct and our character and don't see Christ. It's how we say it, but it's also how we live. Because how we live is also the message. How we live, how we conduct our life. It matters. There is no on Monday, Tuesday, went through the week. There is no, I'm going to be this person because this is what my job requires, or I'm frustrated, or I've been mistreated, so I'm going to act this way. Oh, this is one of those evangelism opportunities. Hold on, let me take off this hat and now put on my Christian hat. Let me warm you up so I can strike the iron and get it hot, you know, when it gets hot. No. There's no changing of hats. They're going to observe how you deal with conflict, how you deal with confrontation, how you deal with frustration, how you deal with pain, how you deal with a broken history, and yet you're being freed from it to conduct yourself like a healed person in Christ. Those things help them hear the message from you and I who are sent. Don't just walk out with the message and think you're good to go. I've experienced Jesus, and I know the gospel, and I know the Romans road, and I know the scriptures, and I know the history, and I know the, you know, and you're ready to lay it on them. Why don't you walk with them for a while? Why don't you have a cup of coffee with them for a while? Why don't you put aside your agenda for a while and listen to them? Invite them. Call them. Take time for them. You remember the illustration from some time ago. You're in Walmart, and you got ice cream in the cart. I got to get it home. Is the melted ice cream that much more important than the broken person you could have taken time with? For just a moment in Walmart. What's more important? Your ice cream or the broken person? The message will not be compromised. But we, the messenger, need to be wise in how we deal with people. We are to be faithful with human relationships. I'll close with this. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field. This world and our surrounding area, whose field is it? It's his. It's his field. And we are praying to send out workers. You know how this works. You yourself can't, it's tough to recruit volunteers when you yourself are not going to volunteer. Right? Right? It's hard to do. So how can I pray, Lord, raise up people to go if we ourselves are not willing to go? So before I pray, Lord, send workers, send evangelism opportunities, send people out into the community. Oh, Lord, please, would you just send the pastor to my neighbor two doors over? We got to settle this first. Lord, are you sending me? You put the message in me. You put your spirit in me. And there's some days I stay in my house, and there's other days I go outside my house. And there's days I see my neighbor. There's days I'm in the marketplace. There's days I'm at work. There's days I'm at school. There's days I'm just out at the ball field. There's days I'm... You're already being sent. You're already going to these places. And there's a field that you're walking around in that belongs to our Master. And we are supposed to go and plant, water, and harvest. Look at the way we do it And do they see that our life and conduct and attitude matches? Would you stand with me, please? At the very beginning of this message, I had you turn to the person next to you, around you, and say, "You are sent." Do you remember that? Now I'd like you to turn to them and say this: "I have been sent." Now reply to them and say, "You too?" Ah, see? The living church here on earth. It's His field. Let's go plant. Let's go water. If someone is ripe, harvest. If you're not sure, kind of check the temperature of the steel. Not by hammering them. Just warm them up by who you are as a person. The love of Christ. The attitude of Christ. The lifestyle of Christ. Yeah. Let them watch you. Let them watch you. Let them see you. You keep your eyes on Christ and follow Him. Live unto Him. Live unto Christ. Die to yourself. And the harvest will come in. Not for us. For Him. It's His field. It's His crop. It's His crop. It's not ours. They may come into this local body, but that's not our, that's not our harvest, that's His harvest. What do you say? You know? What do you say? What do you say it's time that we just embrace the whole idea of being sent and loving people because we love God first?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.